Thank you for listening to our Bayshore Rehoboth podcast. We always love to hear stories about how Bayshore is helping to have an impact in your life. We would love for you to take just a moment and send us an email at amen@bayshorecc.org. Also, be sure to stop by our website at bayshorecc.org to find out all kinds of information, including past messages, videos, pictures, links to social media, and an opportunity to give online. Thanks again for joining us, and prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, what's up, Bayshore family? How are we doing? You guys good? Man, it is so good to be with you guys. And talking about like giving thanks, I am thankful for all of y'all and this church. And I'm a little biased. Just a little biased. But I think we have a pretty good thing going on around here. Does anyone think that? Man, I got to spend the morning upstairs with the outdoor experience team helping park y'all. And I got to hang out with Steve and Johnny. Johnny's right here. Steve, are you in the room? These guys are amazing. I appreciate you guys, what you all do. And you all need to slow down in the parking lot, all right? I got to see what was going on up there. Jesus needs to take the wheel for some of y'all. But I love this place. So glad you guys are with us. If you're here and you're new, you've never been here before, my name is Joel, and I'm just one of the people on our team around here, and we're just so glad that you're hanging out with us if you're new here. And if you're new here, you should know I am a Ravens fan. Praise the Lord. And listen, the Ravens are playing the Patriots today, so I'm going to need some prayer that Tom Brady does not play like Tom Brady today, all right? That's the prayer. But anyway, if you are new here, we're so glad you're here. If you're watching, you're listening online right now, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And can you all just show some love to our first-time guests and everyone watching online? Just give it up for them. Woo! Love it. Well, guys, it's November. What happens in November? Thanksgiving, right? And so all month long, we're going to be talking about this concept of being simply blessed. And we all want to be simply blessed, right? Like, raise a hand if you want to be simply blessed. Okay, yeah, okay. If you weren't falling asleep, okay, everybody raise a hand on that one. Even if we don't know what this means, right? We're like, yeah, if God's doing something, put me down for that, all right? I want in on that, all right? But I'm curious, how many of you would say you feel simply stressed more than you feel simply blessed? Come on, just be honest. Simply stressed more. Me too. And listen, we all have different stress triggers, right? Different things that trigger our stress. Like one of my stress triggers is my kids. Hello. And parents, we love our children. Don't we love our children? Some of you are like, which kid? No, we love our, listen, I love my kids so much. Every week, I set each one of my kids aside, and I'll say to Nora, I'm like, hey, Nora, if I could pick any little girl in the entire world to be mine, and I could choose from any little girl in the entire world, I will pick you every time. And I do the same thing for my boy, Nixon. I sit him aside, I'm like, Nixon, if I could choose any little boy from every little boy that's ever existed in the entire world to be mine, like, I would pick you every time because you're mine and you're special. And so I tell my kids that each week. Now, if we have a third kid, someone's going to move to the number two spot, okay? That's just how it works, but we're not there at this point. Anyway, my point is I love my kids, but my kids stress me out. Parents, can I get an amen on that? Yeah, that was a hearty amen right there. And one of the things that stresses me out about my kids is I want them to be safe. And so, for instance, about a year ago, I went to Bo, our worship leader's house. Me and my wife, Stacy, went to Bo and Katie's house. And Bo, our worship leader, he's a man that does manly things. Okay, anybody who names their driveway Hammer and Chisel Drive? Like, who does that? Bo Stinkin' Dukes does that, okay? That's who does that. And so we went over to Bo and Katie's house, and Bo was in the middle of building these tree houses for his kids. And when I say a tree house, it's not like a tree house that you or I had when we were kids, okay? It wasn't like a rotten 2x4 OSHA violation of a tree house. Bo built two tiny houses, put them up on pilings, sided them, roofed them, and put a bridge between the two. Bo Stinking Dukes, okay? Now, Bo was in the middle of this, and so he had it all done, except he didn't have the railings on the bridge yet. And the bridge was, I don't know, it's just like 600, 700, 800 feet off the ground, something like that, okay? And so my kids go out back to play. We're all inside. And in the back of Barry's house, like, he has these giant windows so we can see what's going on outside. But I'm the only one looking out back where the kids are on these tree houses. Everybody else's back is to the windows. And I see my four-year-old Nixon, okay? He's on the bridge, and he's running from one side to the next as fast as he can. And it's railless, okay? And then from my view, here's a picture of what it looked like from my view, okay? You remember the bridge from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? It was like this bridge, except it didn't have rails on it. And there was probably crocodiles underneath it, just like in this, okay? And so I'm freaking out. Nobody else can see this happening. And before I like get out there to do anything, my daughter Nora, I see her pick up a pool noodle. And she starts chasing Nixon across the bridge, trying to hit him as he's going across the bridge. This is the game my kids come up with on the railless bridge, okay? And so I said to my wife, Stacy, I'm like, Stacy, we got to do something. We're going to be a kid down. We got to do something. And she's just like, she didn't even look. She's like, it's okay. They're kids. I'm like, honey, Nixon can't even walk down the sidewalk without falling over, okay? He's on the railless Temple of Doom bridge right now. And so I said to Bo, I'm like, Bo, like, are they safe out there? And he's like, yeah, they're safe. We've only had one kid fall off. So that's what you say when you have five kids. So just one kid fell off. Four out of five are pretty good. But I get, like, stressed out about my kids' safety. Another example is this past summer in August, my daughter Nora wanted me to take her training wheels off her bike, which stressed me out, okay, because I was worried about her falling, but I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take a Xanax, I'm gonna take these training wheels off, I'm gonna do this. And so I'm taking the training wheels off, Stacy goes inside the house, and she starts dressing Nora up safely to ride her bike, so if she falls, she won't get hurt. Now, when Nora walked out the door, after Stacy had dressed her, you remember that scene in A Christmas Story when Ralphie's mom dressed him for the snow? I mean, we have a picture, okay. This is basically how Stacy dressed Nora, okay? And I was thankful for that. It was like Xanax for me, okay? So, like, she was dressed up like that. And so I took the training wheels off. And the way I tried to train her on the bike is I would run beside her, holding her on the bike. And the whole time I'm holding her, Nora is saying, Dad, let go. And I'm like, no, 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 no. And I'm trying to keep her from, like, running into lawnmowers and minivans and... It stressed me out. I have a video. You want to see a video of it? Okay, let's just go ahead and roll the video.
Good job. Oh, my goodness.
Woo! Look, just keep that right there, okay? Could we have anything else in the driveway for her to run into? Could someone just move the lawnmower, please? Okay, like, there's this... I was so stressed out about something happening to her. Parents, can you like identify with that? It never happened to you? And we all have different stress triggers. Mine is like my kid's safety. Maybe for you it's work, and you're like, I just got too much to do. Maybe your stress trigger is when like somebody cuts you off in traffic, and you're like, I will citizens arrest you. Maybe for you your stress trigger is money, 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 money. There's always some of you. All right, so there we go. Maybe you have more bills than you have money. Maybe your stress trigger is whenever you call home and talk to mom and dad, they're like, well, honey, are you seeing anyone yet? And you're like, yeah, I'm seeing someone. I'm seeing a therapist. Y'all are stressing me out, okay? But you probably feel simply stressed more than you feel simply blessed, don't you? And sometimes I think we can be running through life and our blessing is right there beside us, like my daughter Nora on the bike, but we don't see the blessing because we're stressing. And so today I want to talk to you about that. And my goal for you today is to move from being simply stressed to knowing you are simply blessed. And I'm calling this message, Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings. So turn to someone next to you and say, get out your calculators. Count your blessings. And here's why I'm saying count your blessings. And we'll put this on the screen. Because I believe if you count your blessings will start to count. If you start to count your blessings will start to count. And so if you brought a Bible, head on over to Luke chapter 17. We're going to be in Luke 17, verse 11. And Luke 17 is written by a doctor named Luke. There you go. And since he's a doctor, we're going to get a little medical information in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. And so we'll throw it on the screen. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along there. And it says this: as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 men with what do they got?
Leprosy.
Thank you, Dr. Luke. They have leprosy. And they stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have what?
Mercy.
Have mercy on us. Now let's pause there, okay? Because speaking of being stressed out, having leprosy 2,000 years ago, that was stressful. Okay, this isn't like you had seasonal allergies, y'all. Your skin was like falling off, okay? And you couldn't run down to the Walgreens and get yourself some cortisone. You couldn't do that because you were run out of town by the town priest who diagnosed you as unclean, and you had to live in a colony of other lepers. And are you ready to be grossed out?
Yeah.
If you had leprosy, okay, you're ready to be grossed out. For now, here we go. If you had leprosy, you would lose like the feelings in your fingers and your toes. And so people with leprosy, sometimes they would go to open up a door and they wouldn't know how much pressure they were using, and they would like accidentally twist off a digit. Everybody say, ew. Yeah, and so this is not a good situation to be in. And so they had to walk around town. If they were in town, they had to yell, unclean, unclean. So just like, don't get near me. So we got 10 of these guys with leprosy. And they're yelling, Jesus, help, have mercy on us. And have you ever been there in life where you're like, Jesus, help, I am tapped out, mercy. In the 80s, I went to East Millsboro Elementary School. And yeah, there you go. There you go, alum, there you go. And so in the 80s were the glory days for professional wrestling. And every guy in my class had a wrestling alter ego. Somebody was like Hulk Hogan. Somebody was The Undertaker. Somebody was Ric Flair. Woo! Okay, somebody was all these different characters. And my wrestling alter ego in elementary school was, we have a picture of who my guy was, the Ultimate Warrior, this guy on the left. Can you see the resemblance? You know, you see it? So I love the Ultimate Warrior, and every day at recess, all the guys would go to the back corner of recess by the woods, and we would have WrestleMania, because the teacher couldn't see you by the back corner in the woods. And so we would do WrestleMania, and I always had to like go up against my buddy Brian, who he was Randy Savage, Macho Man, that's who he was. And Brian was 2 times my size, and in the middle of us wrestling, the person who was losing, which was always me, we were able to yell, mercy. And mercy meant like, I need help. I am tapped out. And that's when my wrestling partner, Kurt, also known as Hulk Hogan, would be like, tap me, tap me. And I would tap Kurt, and it was on then, okay? And we would wrestle. And like, I haven't watched wrestling in 25 years, but every night almost now, my boy Nixon is like, Daddy, let's wrestle. And Nixon, he is wild. My dad's laughing because my dad has faced it, okay? Like, Nixon is wild. He weighs 35 pounds, but he will sacrifice his entire body to hurt you. And he will. He will run at you as fast as he can, and he will leap side, and he'll get, that 35-pound body gets sideways in the air, and he's coming at you, man. But we know, both of us have this rule, that if one of us yells the word,
mercy,
that means like we need help, we're tapped out. And so like he will jump on my chest. He'd be like, Daddy, say mercy. And I'm like, no, you are 35 pounds. I will not do it. But mercy means help, right? It means I am tapped out. And have you ever been in a place in life when you're like, man, I am tapped out? Have you ever been in a place in life where you feel like life has you in a wrestling hold? And we're like yelling to Jesus. We're like, Jesus, we need help over here. We need mercy. Okay, send money. Send a doctor. Send a therapist. Send a husband. Send them that. Send something, okay? Mercy, mercy, mercy. And that's us saying we need help. And we're not feeling simply blessed when we're in that state, are we? We're feeling simply stressed. And so we got these 10 lepers. Jesus is over here. They're over here because they can't be close because the whole unclean thing. And they're like, Jesus, help, have mercy on us, because they've heard that Jesus is the guy you go to when you need a miracle. They've heard that Jesus is the guy you go to when you need a blessing. But here's my first point in today's message, and we'll put this on the screen. When we need mercy, when we need a blessing, sometimes you may not find the blessing right away. But when you trust God, you will find the blessing on the way. You may not find it right away. It may not happen right away. But when you trust God in the middle of the stress, you can find the blessing on the way. And have you ever noticed that sometimes we try to find a blessing the wrong way? You ever notice that? Like, I saw this magazine article this week. It's an old magazine article from a magazine called McHale's. I don't even know what that is. It's a 1958 magazine article, and we have a picture of the cover of it. Okay, and so, McCall's. See, I don't even know. McHale's. McCall's. You call McCall's. I call McHale's. I don't know. But the article I looked at was this, from 1958, 129 ways to get a husband. Some of you ladies are like, oh, Pastor Joel is on fire today. Let me write this down. Look, these 129 ways to find a husband, okay, if you're looking for a husband, this is the worst advice I've ever heard, okay? And so I'm just going to read you a few things here, so don't write this down with your Bayshore pen, because this is horrible advice, and don't throw anything at me. This is what it says. All right, the first 129 ways to get a husband. Number six said, All right, I'm going to read it for our podcasters, because they can't read this, okay? Number six, read the obituaries to find eligible widowers. What were they doing in 1958? Like, what's wrong with these people? And they were all about the widowers. Here's the next one, okay? Number 23, go to all reunions of your high school or college class. There may be widowers there. Some of the ladies are like, oh, yeah, okay, I got that. All right, let's move on. Number 34, wear a Band-Aid. People always ask what happened. So listen, single guys, if you come to church next weekend and you see all these single girls wearing Band-Aids, that's your moment. You just say, I'm Dr. Luke. I'm here to help, okay? Number 62, don't tell them about your allergies. Yeah, it's a great idea, okay? Like, ladies, if you have a peanut allergy, don't tell him. So when he gives you, like, a Reese cup, you can just freak him out with that peanut allergy. Here's my personal favorite, 114. Ladies, stow away on a battleship. Just commit a few felonies, okay? Because, you know, federal penitentiary, that's where you really find a man. You know, that's... Those are bad, aren't they? Okay, ladies, don't do any of that. It's just terrible advice. My point is, there's a right way to find a blessing, and there's a wrong way to find a blessing. Am I right? Yep. And I'll give you a little bit of actually what I think is good dating advice. The best dating advice I've ever heard is from a guy named Andy Stanley. And he says, if you're single, focus on being the person you're looking for is looking for. Let me say that again because it takes a second, okay? If you're single, focus on being the person you're looking for is looking for. In other words, instead of trying to find, I'm going to go a little dating advice for a second, okay? But here we go. Instead of trying to focus on finding the right person, finding the one, focus on being the one. Focus on being kind. Focus on being smart with your money. Focus on volunteering in church. Love Jesus. Focus on being better at work than at Fortnite. Hello. And when you focus on being the right one, somewhere on the way, you're going to find somebody who's also focused on being the right one. It might even happen right here in church, in the third row. I don't know. I'm going to call the third row the romance row. I don't know. If you're on the romance row, you might already be in romance. I don't know. But anyway, my point is this. When we're in life, you may not find the blessing right away. But when you live the right way, you find the blessing on the way. When you trust Jesus, you will find the blessing, whatever that blessing may be, on the way. When you live for him, you will find the blessing on the way. And that's what happens to these guys in the story in Luke. And so we remember, we got 10 guys. They have leprosy. Jesus is over there. They're over here yelling, Jesus, mercy, help. And then this is what it says in verse 14. It says, he, Jesus, looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. Now pause. When he says to go, they have leprosy. They got to make this walk with leprosy, okay? And what's it say? As they went, everybody say, on the way. On the way, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Now, just imagine this. Jesus could have healed them right then, couldn't he? He could have like shot cortisone and oil of Olay out of the sky, like just got them right. But he didn't do that. He wanted to see if they trusted him before they got the blessing. And he said, go to the priest. And so imagine this walk, okay? They have leprosy. They're like walking through the street saying, unclean. Yes, we're still unclean. Their clothes are torn. They got digits falling off. Like they are unclean. But they had, this is so important, they had to walk in faith before they walked in blessing. They had to walk in faith before they walked in blessing. And so when they walked in faith, the blessing happened on the way. And I wonder how many of us are waiting to walk in faith for the blessing to happen. I wonder how many of us are like, Jesus, I will live the right way if you will just bless me right away. And I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you may not find the blessing right away. But when we live for him, when we live the right way, we will find the blessing on the way. The blessing happens on the way. Everybody say, on the way. One more time.
On the way.
The miracle happens on the way. The blessing happens on the way because trusting Jesus shows Jesus that we can be trusted with the blessing. Trusting Jesus shows Jesus that we can be trusted with the blessing. And sometimes we got to walk in faith before we walk in the blessing. And so I don't know what miracle you're waiting on in your life right now. Okay, maybe you're waiting on a miracle in your money. And so what can you do today? Today, you can work on living on less than you make. You can work on being thankful for what you do have. You can work on tithing. And when you do that, the blessing will happen on the way. Maybe you need a miracle in your dating relationship. You're like, Jesus, I need a miracle. Okay, I'm not even asking for Jason Momoa. I'm just asking for someone, okay, just anybody. But what do you do now? You focus on being the right person. And somewhere on the way, the blessing will happen. The miracle happens on the way. And we'll put this on the screen. I think this is so important. A lot of times we're waiting on the miracle. But what if the miracle is waiting on you? A lot of times we're waiting on the miracle. Jesus, give me the miracle. Do it right away. But what if the miracle is waiting on you guys? Guys, the miracle happens on the way. And you may not find the blessing right away, but when we live the right way, the blessing happens on the way. That's what happens to these guys in this story. And that's what happens to our lives. Here's the second point of this story that I think we're going to get out of it. And we'll put this on the screen. Is to count your blessings. Count your blessings. Don't compare your blessings. Count them, don't compare them. If you're new here, you should just know that I live at home with my parents right now. Welcome to Bayshore. And my dad is in the room right now, so shout out, Dad. Thanks for letting me live in your house. Now, let me give you a little backstory. Me and my wife, Stacy, are actually building a home, so we moved back home while we're building a home. And I'm super thankful that my parents let me. My brother likes to rub this in, by the way. He'll call me and be like, hey, Joel, how's mom and dad doing? I'm like, stop it. I'll bring the U-Haul to your house. You better watch it, okay? But whenever I tell people that, like, we're living at home with my parents for the time being while we're building, a lot of times people are like, oh, that's awesome. You have live-in babysitters. That sounds great. But here's the thing. When you ask your parents if you and your wife and your two kids and your 11-pound chihuahua that has authority issues and incontinence issues, when you ask to move all that in, you don't get to ask for any more favors, okay? Like, you get at least a decade of no favors. And so I don't ask them to babysit our kids, like, ever, okay? And so me and Stacey, we don't go out on a lot of dates right now. Like, our dates right now are Netflix in the bonus room while eating double stuff Oreos in our beach chairs, because that's what we sit in. It's 100% true. Now, my dad and my mom's date day, the entire day, is Friday. The whole day. I don't even know what me and Stacey, we even had a whole, I don't know what we would do. Whole day. We haven't had an uninterrupted conversation for 6 years, you know, because of kids. But they go out on their date day, and when Dad comes back, a lot of times he'll tell me, like, Joe, we went to see this movie, or we went to eat lunch here, and then we ate dinner here. I'm like, you went two places? I don't even know what's happening right now, okay? And sometimes my dad would be like, Joe, you should take Stacy there on a date. And I'm like, is this a suggestion or is this an offer? Like, is this an offer because I can offer you my beach chairs, Dad. I mean, whenever you want them, you can have them. But the last place he suggested that we go on a date is the restaurant Egg right over here on the avenue. You guys, who knows about Egg? You know about Egg? Oh, I'm so happy for you guys. Great. Okay. And Dad said, he was like, Joel, they have candied sriracha bacon. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, let me just have that before I die. That's all I need. And when me and Stacey were in our dating phase of our relationship, candied sriracha bacon didn't exist. That wasn't a thing. That wasn't something you could order, but now it's a thing. And a little pastor confession, all you have to do to make me jealous is bring up candied sriracha bacon. And sometimes I start to compare my dad's candied sriracha bacon to my beach chairs. I start to compare his freedoms to my limitations. You ever done anything like that? And sometimes we don't count our blessings, we compare our blessings. You ever driven through a neighborhood and you're like, oh, look at that house. That's bigger than ours. Or maybe, ladies, you've been on Facebook and you're like, oh, look at their wedding pictures. They got married at Baywood. We got married in the bowling alley, honey. Like, we compare blessings. We don't celebrate our blessings. We compare blessings. We don't count our own blessings. We compare vacations. We compare phones, houses, cars, kids' reading level. Hello. Hair. Don't even make a joke about it, okay? Like, I know. But the more we compare, the more we despair, right? The more we compare, the more we despair. And so what do we do? What do we do? We stop counting their blessings, and we start counting our blessings. Look, thank God for your car. Thank God for your health. Thank God for your beach chairs, okay? When you count your blessings will begin to count. And have you noticed that sometimes we only see the bad in our own blessings? Like parents, okay. Parents, have you ever been like, oh, I can't wait till my kids grow up and move out? Then we can get candy, sriracha, bacon whenever we want. Well, I can't wait till the kids grow up and move out because, honey, then we'll be happy again. Parents, right? Right? But don't miss the blessing that your kids are every moment. Every single moment. Because there's going to be a day when you can get all the candy, sriracha, bacon you want, but what you want more than anything is your kid to walk through your front doors again. Amen. Right? My parents get to see me walk through the front door 5 times a week, okay? Like, a day, rather. But be thankful for what you have. Don't see the bad in your blessings. Okay, ladies, okay, maybe your husband, he can't get the boxer briefs into the laundry basket. And you're like, any idiot could get it in the basket? Just put it in. You even take the lid off. It just sits wide open. You're like, anybody could put that in there, and any can. You're like, my husband. But ladies, okay, and anybody who's ever lost a spouse would say they would do anything to see that dirty laundry again. And so your husband is a blessing. Man, give me a little fist pound for that one. That was a good one. I helped you out. Helped you out. But don't see the bad. See the blessing. And what if we started to do that? What if we looked in our life and we started to find the blessing and we didn't just pull out the little bit of bad that's in that great big blessing that we had? Well, what if for us, we stopped comparing blessings and we started counting our own blessings? Do you know what would happen? You'd start to see God's blessings in your life. You'd see them. And the reason that is because gratitude helps us see the blessing. Gratitude helps take our blessing blinders off. So you can see clearly now the rain is gone. But gratitude helps us see the blessing. That's why when I taught my kids how to pray, this is what I taught them to do. We pray three things. I say, okay, kids, we're going to pray for someone, we're going to pray for something, and we're going to thank the king. That's the prayer we do every night. Okay, pray for someone, something, and thank the king. And so I'll be like, all right, Nix, let's pray for someone, something, and thank the king. Okay, and Nix, you know, he's a little all over the place, so he'll be like, okay, all right, Jesus, for someone, okay, Jesus, I pray that Mimi's leg will get better, that her knee will feel better. I'm like, that's good. And then he'll say, Daddy, what's next? I'm like, let's pray for something. And he'll be like, Jesus, I pray that I'll make better choices in school tomorrow. Which is good. I'm thankful for that prayer. He doesn't always make good choices in school, okay? But he's a preacher's kid. It comes honest, okay? But then he'll say, what's next? I always say, thank the king. Thank the king. And he'll be like, and this is a real prayer. He said, Jesus, thank you that we get to live at Mimi and Papa's house. And he said, thank you that Papa has moon pies. I'm like, my dad has moon. My dad is living the dream, okay? He's got moon pies, candy, sriracha, bacon, and so. But I always tell my kids, I want them to thank the king for one thing every day because I never want them to not see all the blessings that God has given them. And so when they have gratitude, they see the blessing. And when we have gratitude, we see the blessing. Now, speaking of gratitude, we're going to go back to the story in Luke. 10 lepers are healed now, right? 10 lepers are blessed, right? So what happens in verse 15? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. Wait. How many people came back?
One.
How many people got the blessing?
Ten.
One came back. And this man was a Samaritan. And the reason Luke brings that up is because there was all this racial tension in this culture between Jews and Gentiles and Samaritans. And this was the most unlikely leper to come back. And so Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Because this was the most unlikely one. And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. 10 people were blessed. One man came back to say, thank you, Jesus. Listen, I don't know about you, but what I want for my life, what I want for my family, what I want for my kids is I want to be the one that comes back and says, thank you. I want to be the one that's not afraid to get on my knees and say, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, when I needed mercy, you gave me mercy. Romans 5:8 says that while I was still a sinner, Jesus, you died for me. Jesus, thank you. I want to be the one that comes back and says, thank you. Well, when I was hopeless and felt depressed for almost 2 years, Jesus was the only one who gave me hope when nothing else did. And I want to remember that and say, Jesus, thank you. I want to be the first one down on my knees saying, Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me. When I look at my wife, Stacy, I want to be like, Jesus, thank you. That is a miracle. Have you seen my wife? It's a miracle, you guys. When I'm running beside my daughter, Nora, on her bike, I want to be like, Jesus, thank you for this blessing. When I'm standing on this stage and Jesus is speaking through me, I want to be like, Jesus, thank you. And if you never gave me anything else for the rest of my life, you've already given me more than I could ever ask for. I've got grace and mercy and forgiveness and eternal life. I am simply blessed. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. And how many of you want to say, thank you, Jesus? You want to be the one that comes back. But only one came back. The other 9 got the blessing, but never even counted their blessing. They didn't even see it. And I wonder how many blessings I have in my life that I don't see. I wonder how many blessings you have in your life that you don't see. But the leper, the one leper came back and he saw his blessing. and he was thankful. And I think because of that, he had more joy than the other nine. He had more gratitude than the other nine. He had more life than the other nine. Why? Because if you count your blessings will begin to count. And so how do we do that? Just practically, okay? That's a great theory, but how do we do that? Well, there's a lot of different ways that we can thank Jesus. Prayer is a simple one. Every day you can thank the King for just one thing in your life. Prayer is an easy way. Worship, when we sing during the music and we're singing to Jesus, like that's an easy way to thank Jesus. And you might be like, well, Pastor Joe, I don't sing because I got a terrible voice. Look, me too. That's why we turn the music up really loud so we don't have to hear each other, all right? But worship, singing is a way that we can say thank you, Jesus. Volunteering, okay? Who volunteers at Bayshore in any capacity? Look at this. Listen, shout out to you guys. Thank you guys for everything you do. That, you all who raise your hands, that's you saying, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Whenever I give, whenever I tithe, I just say, Jesus, thank you that you gave all of this to me. And I'm going to remember that it's all yours by just giving back to you. So thank you. And another thing I say when I tithe is, Jesus, thank you for rescuing me. Would you use this to rescue other people? Yeah. Today's kind of a special day for me because today marks 6 years since I stood on the stage for the first time as the campus pastor here. Thank you, guys. 6 years, and I was scared to death on that first Sunday. I'm still scared to death, really. But I was looking over my records this week because I was like, 6 years, that's amazing. And based on our records, we know of 414 people who have been rescued for Jesus right in this space in the last 6 years. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. And so when you give, you're saying, Jesus, thank you for rescuing me. Would you just rescue more people? We just keep rescuing more and more people. I want to be the one that comes back and says thank you. I want to be the one that counts my blessings so my blessings will count. I'll end with this. Last Sunday, right before the 10:30 service started, I saw my buddy Daniel, and he was standing right here. And some of you know Daniel. I had the opportunity to baptize Daniel last year, I believe it was. And here's a picture from that moment with Daniel. And Daniel is such a sweet guy. And I was hugging Daniel right here in the front row, and he whispered in my ear. He said, Joel, my dad just passed away. And I was blown away. I had no idea. And so after the service, Bo and I were talking to Ruth Ann, which is Daniel's mom, and really has to take care of Daniel. And this was Ruth Ann's husband that passed away. And we're talking to her right back here, and I'll never forget that conversation. She said, Joel, I could be really sad, but I'm really just grateful. She said, I got to spend 48 years with a man that I loved. She said, we got to have Daniel together, and Daniel is our world. She said, I'm thankful because when my husband passed away, he was doing what he loved because he was outdoors when he passed away. He was in the woods, and he loved being in the woods. And she said, I'm thankful because as I'm walking through this, I have Jesus right beside me to walk me through it. And I can't imagine what it would be like if I didn't have Jesus right there next to me. And Ruth Ann's not here today because his life celebration ceremony is today. But I think if Ruth Ann were here, she would remind all of us, listen, don't see the bad. See the blessing because you don't know how long it's going to be there. I think she would be the one to say, hey, be the one to come back and say, thank you, Jesus. I think she would say, count your blessings because you don't know how long that blessing will be there. And sometimes we're running through life and our blessing is right there beside us, like Ruth Ann's husband for 48 years and my daughter Nora on the bike, and we don't see the blessing because we're stressing. And I don't know why you're simply stressed today, but I do know that if Ruth Ann can say, I am simply blessed, how many of you know you really are simply blessed? If you believe that, say, I am simply blessed. I am simply blessed. So this week, will you just look for one thing every day to say, thank you, Jesus? Would you do that for me? Yeah. Let's count our blessings so we can make our blessings count. Yeah. Let me pray for you all. Jesus, I'm so thankful for this story in Luke because Jesus, I think we can look at these lepers and maybe we can't identify with the medical side of it, but we can identify with the stress that comes along with what those guys must have been facing. But Jesus, you challenged them to walk in faith before they walked in blessing. And God, I think you're doing the same thing for us today with different people who are in a situation maybe where they're struggling with money or they're struggling with their relationship status and they just want somebody to be in their life. God, I pray that we will learn to walk in faith and know that we can trust you, that you will bless us. But we got to walk in faith first. And God, I just pray that we'll count our blessings. And Jesus, if you never give us anything else ever again, you've already done way more than we could ever ask or imagine. And Jesus, so we just say thank you to you. And help us this week to see our blessings and count our blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.